ஆதிபுருஷஸ்ய மிருகேந்திர லீலம் ஜைதேந்திர யுதா பாவாதம் பிரயத ததேத தைத்மாஜஸ்ய ச சாதம் பிரவாரஸ்ய புண்ணியம் ஸ்ருத்வானுபாவம் அகுதோ பயம் இதி லோகம். இதாத்ய யதி புருஷஸ்ய மிருகேந்திர லீலாம் தைத்தேந்திர யுதா பாவதம் பிரயாத பத்ததே தைத்யமஜஸ்ய ச சதம் பிரவஸ்ரஸ்ய புண்ணியம் ஸ்ருதவ்யனுபாவம் அகுதோ பயம் இதி லோகம். இத்யாதி புருஷஸ்ய மிருகேந்திர லீலம் தைத்தேந்திர யுத பாவதம் பிரயாத பத்தேத தைத்தமஜஸ்ய ச சதம் பிரவஸ்ரஸ்ய புண்ணியம் ஸ்ருத்வானுபாவம் அகுதோ பயம் இதி லோகம். ஏதத்ய யதி புருஷஸ்ய மிருகேந்திர லீலம் தைத்தேந்திர யுதா பாவதம் பரதஸ்ய பதேத தைத்தமஜஸ்ய ச சதம் புவரஸ்ய புண்ணியம் ஸ்ருதானுபாவம் லோகுதோ புவவம் இதி லோகம்.
மதஜீஸ் that this narration here, anyone who adi purushasya of the original personality of Godhead mrigendra leelam pastimes of a lion and human being combined daitendriya of the king of the demons
Yutha up, as strong as an elephant. Vadham, the killing. Prayatha, with great attention. Pateta, reads. Daitya Atma Jasya, of Prahlad Maharaj, the son of the demon. Cha, also. Satam, among elevated devotees. Pravarasya, the best. Punyam, pious. Shutva, hearing. Anubhavam, the activities. Akuta bhayam, where there is no fear. Anywhere or at any time. Iti, reaches. Lokam, the spiritual world. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj was the best among exalted devotees. Anyone who with great attention hears this narration concerning the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, comma, the killing of Hiranyakashipu, and the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I repeat, anyone who with great attention hears this narration concerning the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, the killing of Hiranyakashipu, and the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narasimha Dev, surely reaches the spiritual world where there is no anxiety. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishai Namaha. Pancha Tattva Akmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Cha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama. Hare Krishna. So on this very auspicious day of the wonderful appearance of Lord Narasimha Dev, 4th of May 2023, we welcome all of you to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. And as this verse is beautifully explaining, of course there was no purport, but still it was important. I just thought we'll take this verse because it really conveys what we should be doing today at least, if not throughout the year. But very important that if anyone who with great attention hears this narration concerning the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, the killing of Hiranyakashipu, and the activities of Supreme Personality of Godhead Narasimha Dev, surely reaches the spiritual world where there is no anxiety. So it is not just restricted to the activities of Prahlad Maharaj. Very interesting in this verse. Even hearing the killing of Hiranyakashipu is very auspicious. I mean, sometimes you might wonder, how can hearing somebody getting killed be auspicious? But when the Lord does something, even that killing is extremely auspicious. So not just the wonderful activities of Prahlad Maharaj, but the killing of Hiranyakashipu, and of course, the activities of Supreme Personality of God at Narasimha Dev is very, very auspicious. And just very, very clearly indicative that this whole seventh canto of Bhagavatam, the Paramhansa Samhita, the Amala Puranam, which has only 12 cantos, the whole seventh canto is dedicated to these three things. The activities of Prahlad, the killing of Hiranyakashipu, and the activities of Narasimha Dev. The whole seventh canto. Except for the tenth canto which talks about Krishna, there is no one full canto, correct me if I am wrong, authorities. Is there any one canto dedicated to one episode? I don't think so. Even if Ram or any, but one full canto. Tenth canto of course is talking about Krishna. The whole tenth canto is talking about Krishna. In fact, the whole Bhagavatam is talking about Krishna. But this seventh canto dedicated to Prahlad and Narasimha Dev, it's itself very, very interesting that Sukadev Goswami spent so much of his time describing this to Parikshit Maharaj when he knew very well that he had a particular amount of time. So this, it says that where it surely reaches the spiritual world where there is no anxiety. So there is another verse which I found about the process of hearing. The process of hearing is one of the most important aspects of Krishna consciousness. Shravanam. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Nityam bhagavata seva. Bhagavata seva is done by Shravanam. That seva is offered by Shravanam. So this whole the whole aspect of hearing. I mean, sometimes you might be wondering, what is so great about, I'm just sitting doing nothing. I'm just hearing. Right? A few of my friends who are very active into the business world, they said that what is so great in just sitting and hearing? Why can't we do some work? And you people for hours and hours just hear and spend hours for lakhs and lakhs of rupees in saptas where lakhs of people are just sitting, and what are they doing? Just hearing. They don't do anything else. The speaker is speaking and they're just hearing. 8 hours, Bhagavad Katha. But we understand why. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 29th chapter, verse number 39 and 40, spoken by Narad Muni. Now, Narad Muni was a recipient, or rather, he was actually a case study of what is the effect of hearing from great souls. He is a classical case study and he knew it because he himself went through that transformation. Because when he was hearing from the Bhakti Vedantas and he took their Mahaprasad, he was transformed from a Sudra boy to the great Narad Muni. Of course, there was a lot of things that happened in between. So Narad Muni is so convinced about this process of hearing, and again and again and again and again it is relevant that he repeats this. And it is important for all of us, before we even start hearing, to understand why are we doing what we are doing. Because most of the time, we are not even knowing what we are doing. We just do it because we have, 8:39, we just sit and hear. But little do we really preach to ourselves. What is this whole process of hearing? So he said, my dear king, this is the verse, this is Narad Muni is telling King Kachinibari, my dear king, in the place where pure devotees live, following the rules and regulations and thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that place, if one gets a chance to hear their constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. I mean, if you just think about it, this is very interesting. How many of us in this room can say that we are averse from fear, lamentation, and illusion? How many of us can say, yeah, you know, yes, I raise my hand and say, I have nothing to do with these three things. Anyone here? Anyone dare raise their hands? We are all are tormented by fear, constant fear, so much fear. Yes? And the more and more the world has become extremely unpredictable. I mean, we can't even predict what's happening. The more and more the fear factor increases. I mean, a generation back or two generations back, none of our parents really had the fear of losing a job. I mean, you know, once they did a job, they had a job. The employer would retain the person and the person would be working. You know, we have a history of, my father worked in a company for 35 years. Same company. I'm in business. Sometimes I interview people and I see their resumes and I said, you're working in a company for 10 years. I said, is something wrong with you? Why you have to work for 10 years in the same company? So it is, I mean, people are not committed to the employer and much more the employer are committed to the people. So there's a constant fear. I'm just giving one example. Will tomorrow when I go to my office, will the job really still be there with me? Or I will just shown the pink slip, as they say. Just one small aspect of fear. And like that, so many other fears are tormenting us. So many times we hear of people just falling dead. Young people, 40, 50 years old, just getting a massive cardiac arrest and falling dead. No reason, no history, nothing. I mean, and we all are coming to know that it is the vaccine which is the cause of it. Maybe. And we all are vaccinated, right? So, fear that suddenly anything can happen to anyone. Lamentation, right? Constantly lamenting. Na sochati na kangshati. Only that person, Brahmabhuta prasanatma, na sochati na kangshati, sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labhate param. But what is Krishna saying? One person who doesn't lament or not that hankers, he is Brahmabhuta platform. But what is our situation? We are constantly lamenting for things that we have lost. And constantly in illusion. Right? So, the Bhagavatam explains that by this process of hearing, what happens? That we get constantly troubled by hunger and thirst. The bodily troubles are hunger and thirst. And the mental troubles are what I mentioned, fear, lamentation, illusion. We get rid of these things. Don't you want to get rid of these things? We are getting tormented. So please, my dear friends, let us understand this process and let us pay attention, at least for the next few minutes, that we are fortunate to sit together and hear Krishna Katha. So this beautiful story happens. Yudhishthir Maharaj in the Rajasui Yajna, he's all over, he's been coronated and he says, I'm not understanding something. Something is bothering me. And he is asking that, how can, of course we all know what happened, that Krishna killed Shishupal, because that's a whole long story. Shishupal was uncontrollably envious of the Lord and he went on blaspheming the Lord. At some point, after the 100th blasphemy, the Lord said, enough, and just, you know, chakras. So this, I mean, I was reading a particular commentary and explained that sometimes the chakra moves very slowly. And especially when the chakra, for example, chakra which was following Durvasa Muni, it didn't just
cut off his head. He was just following. But the chakra which was sent to kill Shishupal was like in split second. He just spoke and before people, some people couldn't even see it because they were blinking. And the matter when they opened their eyes, finished. It's just that powerful chakra is. And then they saw the soul of Shishupal, who was a hardcore blasphemer. What sort of blasphemy he was making? I mean, it is there. It is, but it is not appropriate to sit on the Vyasasana and speak his blasphemy, even though it is actually glorification of Krishna in one sense. And then he said, but how can his soul, you know, merge in the body of the Lord? He was such a blasphemer. And then this whole story is explained by Narad Muni. He's explained that actually I wish I could be as absorbed as Shishupal was in Krishna, because he was 24 hours absorbed in Krishna. Machita madagada prana bodhyantascha parasparam kathyantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. The important word is nityam. Machita madagada, that he's glorifying. Who are my devotees? That the devotees who are the people who are constantly engaged into discussing about my pastimes. Machita madagada prana bodhyantascha parasparam, telling each other. Kathyantascha mam nityam, and not sometimes. And Prabhupada writes in a purport very nicely, it is not that the discussion should begin with Krishna consciousness and slowly glide down to mundane discussion. And that's what happens, right? We discuss with Krishna consciousness, yes, you're chanting around, and then it slowly glides down to some mundane discussion, something very ordinary, something very, very superficial, something very, very not encouraging in Krishna consciousness. That's why the word used, nityam. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. And by doing this, they experience great satisfaction, tushyanti cha, ramanti cha, and great pleasure in their lives by doing so. Otherwise, my dear friends, tell me, for the last whatever years that you have been a devotee, active devotee, you have been hearing nothing as pastimes, you have been seeing dramas about it, right? You know, when there is nothing as drama, there must be some pillar somewhere. Suddenly from nowhere, every drama has a pillar. And we all know that something is happening behind. Like, I mean, you know, there's a whole stage and there's one pillar just coming up. And everyone knows what's going to happen. But still, when that thing happens, we all are on the edge of our seats. Is it not? Even if it is an amateur performance, we all... And can you imagine knowing a drama from beginning to end and still for year on year on year and year on year, we enjoy it? Have you thought about this? How is it possible? And many a times, you know, when we do, for example, even when we do the dramas of Jagai Madhai, you know, I mean, the way Jagai Madhai are portrayed are very, very horribly poor portrayed of their personality. They're mostly shown as just, you know, roads chap drunkards. And they were not just drunkards, they were like powerful people there. But still we enjoy Jagai Madhai. We enjoy nursing the pastimes. We know it. And sometimes, you know, nothing is coming and his nails are falling off. And, you know, we see all these things happening. But still says, wow, Jai Narasimha. It's wonderful. Why? Because it is connected to the Lord. We never get bored because it is ever fresh. The pastimes are ever fresh. So, you know, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, Narad Muni started telling the story that Jai Vijay were cursed. I'm going a little fast. And then they were cursed and they said they were given a choice. They took the choice of taking birth as three births of demons. They are born as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyaksha, demonic, was like just plundering the earth of all the gold and removing. And Lord Varadev killed him. And the earth was submerged, brought him back. And when Hiranyaksha's wives were lamenting, especially his mother, Diti, actually the mother of Hiranyakashipu also, lamenting, Hiranyakashipu spoke about the temporariness of the soul, I mean, temporariness of the body, and the eternality of the soul. And of course, it is he spoke and he gave example in that. He gave a story of Yamraj coming as a small child and speaking to the queens of the king Suyagya, who had died. And he spoke in detail about the whole philosophy. But this is interesting. He spoke the philosophy, perfect philosophy. If you remove Hiranyakashipu, you say this is actually the perfect philosophy of the soul. He spoke exactly the temporariness of the body and the permanent of the soul, the nature of the soul. So it is not that a person who speaks about the temporary nature of the soul, temporary nature of the body or the soul, he is a devotee, but the intention behind it is very important. What did he do after speaking? He spoke the same philosophy, but then he said, I want to avenge the death of my brother and I'm going to kill Vishnu. So please, something we should learn. We may be devotees and speaking Krishna Katha and attracting hundreds of people to our Kathas maybe. Many people would love to hear our Kathas. Say, wow, he speaks so well. What is our intention is more important. Because anybody can speak the philosophy, but the intention is very important. And what was the intention of Hiranyakashipu? To kill. He was super envious of the Lord. He spoke the philosophy. He spoke the right philosophy. But intentions. It's all about the intentions in our life, my dear friends. What is our inner desire? What are our inner ambitions? Our inner private desires is all that counts. And we all know what sort of desires we are harboring in our lives. And all the things that we speak, if the intentions are not right, they will simply help us to become more and more envious and competitive with the Lord. Even though externally we may not show that, because that's not the fashion in Krishna consciousness, to show you're competitive with the Lord. What's the fashion? The fashion is to show you are humble. So you will speak humbly, you will talk humbly, you will move humbly, but you are harboring the Hiranyakashipu within your heart. Very, very symbolic, very interesting. He spoke perfect philosophy. Intentions were wrong. So let us not just feel happy that, you know what, I am doing a lot of Krishna Katha and people, and I like to hear Krishna Katha. But many times the purpose, many times the desires are something that we need to introspect about. So that's how he explained to them, and then of course he went to the whole intense tapasya. He went to the mountains and did unbelievable tapasya, Hiranyakashipu, to the extent, I just still wonder after so many years that how can somebody survive with no flesh? He was just still surviving on bones, and that's the type of intense tapasya he did. Lord Brahma became pleased and he gave him a very, very strong body. He said, what do you want? He asked for a whole list of benedictions. I will not be killed. You know, first he said, make me immortal. I said, well, I don't have that. I can't give you. I said, okay. I have another way of asking. And then he asked you. We all know, neither inside or neither outside, nor by any weapons, nor by any shastra, neither day or night. And Lord Brahma said, so be it. I'll give you the benediction. And Hiranyakashipu became extremely powerful. And Hiranyakashipu being powerful is not something that we are going to be discussing about. He was so powerful actually, that he actually controlled everything. The demigods. I mean, during his regime, even though he was a demoniac person, everything was happening very luxuriantly. The weathers were perfect. The temperature was perfect. Usually, during the reign of Dharma, things happen well, right? But this gentleman was so powerful. I don't know whether we call him a gentleman. This personality was so powerful, he controlled. He would want the right temperature. People were fearful of him. So please understand, people do things out of love. And the same things people can do out of fear. It depends what sort of leader you want to be, or what sort of parent you want to be. You can be a tyrant parent and still have the same outcome. My child listens to me. Whatever I tell, he does or she does. But is a child doing out of fear? But that's a very low form of leadership. That's a very low form of inspiration, out of fear. But when somebody does out of love, and that's exactly what Prabhupada drew from the hearts of his disciples, versus many sadhus who went, they would say, if you don't do this, this will happen, you will die, you will get cursed. And they did everything, but out of fear. But Prabhupada drew the love of people. Hiranyakashipu was doing things out of fear. People were fearful. But during the reign of Yamraj, reign of Yudhishthir Maharaj, or for that matter, any dharmic king, everyone was behaving things during the reign of Ram or whatever. It was out of great happiness and great pleasure. People were doing their duties out of great love. So, but one good thing about Hiranyakashipu is going to just happen. His wife was pregnant. And of course, he was doing tapasya. One good thing that was going to be delivering him and delivering the world. So there is, the very interesting that why Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of the Asuras. Such a great soul. Such a devout soul. Why should he be born in the family of Asuras? So different versions that we have heard from our Acharyas. So there is a scholar named Shiv Sharma. And his son was Soma Sharma. Now Soma Sharma was a pious boy and he was not so much interested in the worldly matters. He was a very, very law-abiding, scriptures-abiding personality. He would engage into yoga and meditation. Very, very devoted person. And then, at the time when he was about to die, he led his life in a very devotional way. But he was staying in a place of the name Shalagram. Gram is a village. Shalagram. So there were a lot of demoniac and asuric personalities staying around that place. And they would cause lot of noise and lot of trouble and lot of sinful activities. Very loudly they would be engaging in activities. So when Soma Sharma was about to die, this one version, he was not able to focus on the Lord because there's so much of diversion. These people were engaging in such sinful activities. They were asuric personalities. So even though he was trying to meditate upon the Lord, he was disturbed by the activities happening around him. That's how important, or that's the effect of what environment has on us. You may be wonderful, but the environment also equally important on where you are around. So he was surrounded by such demoniac asuric people that he couldn't really meditate upon the Lord, and then he died in that situation. And he was thinking of the asuras while he was dying. What happens when you think of something at the time of death? You become an asura. So he was born in an asuric family, but because of his intense pious activities, he actually became a devotee of the Lord. There's another beautiful version from the Briya Narsimha Purana. There was this personality, Vasu Sharma, who was staying in Avanti, and his wife was Sushila. And they had five children. Four of them were very, very devoted, and the fifth one was also devoted, but in due course, he got attached to a prostitute. And all his thinking was corrupt. He fell down from the principles of religiosity. And at one of the days, he had a fight with this prostitute. you know, fights happen. He had a fight and they said, get lost. And then he left and she left. And he was so despondent that he had a fight and he was so much missing her. He was in such a despondent situation. He was walking in the forest alone. And it was getting evening. And he said, okay, now is the time, I must settle down. So he cleaned, there was an old beaten up temple. He cleaned the temple. And he wanted to take rest there. Was lucky for him. That day was Narasimha Chaturdashi. The temple that he was cleaning was the old temple of Lord Narasimhadev. Now you will ask, well, Prahlad is here and Narasimha appears in various millenniums, right? So this is one such story in one of the millenniums where Prahlad cleaned the Narasimha temple. This particular boy, he was fasting because they had a fight. He said, I'll not eat. So he was fasting. You know, sometimes when you have fights, husband, wife, when we know each other, I'll not eat. So he was fasting. Of course, they were not husband, wife. They were something else. So he was fasting. He unknowingly cleaned at the temple. He did some seva on an auspicious day of Narasimha Chaturdashi. Unknowingly did all the three things. And Briya Narasimha Purana, as our Shastric evidence states, that in Duke, the next life, he was born as Sri Prahlad. Because of this wonderful service. So the point is, we have many such stories, but the stories are just to really, they are real stories, no doubt. But how much we can benefit if we knowingly fast, so all of us are fasting hopefully. The benefit of knowingly fasting, knowingly being in the temple, hearing Krishna Katha on this auspicious day of Narasimha Chaturdashi will be so beneficial. Madhavatiti bhakti janani jatane palana kori Krishna basati basati boli param adhara boli. As Bhakti Thakur says, that Madhavatiti bhakti janani, this holy days of Vaishnava Tithis or the Lord's appearance and disappearance are like bhakti janani. They are like mothers of devotion. And what does the mother do? The mother nourishes your body. Similarly, these dates, they nourish your soul. Very, very interesting. That's why we should jatanya palana kori, with great attention, celebrate these wonderful days. While of course we may have our daily chores to do, we may continue with our work, but constantly thinking about these wonderful days, Gaur Purnima, Narasimha Chaturdashi, Ram Navami, Krishna Janmashtami, just getting absorbed in these days will definitely nourish our soul. So Prahlad Maharaj, this is a beautiful episode of how Prahlad Maharaj became Prahlad Maharaj from Briya Narada Puran and the other Puranas that we heard stories. So we should understand the power of seva, the power of smaranam, the power of shravanam, and the power of mananam. Shravan should give rise to manan. Manan means to think about. When you shravan, you just gather and then to do mananam. So what we are doing now is we are shravan. But throughout the day, what we can do, we may not be able to do shravan, but we can easily do mananam. We can always go deep into a particular point that we have heard as a wow, and let us introspect, let us think about going deeper into that point. That mananam is a very, very powerful process. So that's how, of course, we will hear further more detailed story in the today evening's class about the exact beautiful pastime of the Lord. But sufficient to say that this Narasimha Dev is a very, very integral part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava worship. Even though there are 10 incarnations, it is not that, you know, Rupa Goswami says clearly, Krishna, Rama and Narasimha are the three most prominent deities that Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship. And to that extent, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and even our Srila Prabhupada told us every single day to chant the Narasimha Aarti as part of our any Aarti. That's how important Narasimha Dev is. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as part of his South Indian Yatra, you know, please understand, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived only for 48, I mean, he was around for only 48 years, you know. And of that, 6 years of his time in South India, see, I mean, 2 years. 2 years of his, I mean, he was in South Indian tour. And one of the major places that he visited in South India were Narasimha Kshetras. Places of worship of Lord Narasimha Dev. Of course, many other places, but good number of places where he worshiped, where he personally visited. Gaur Amaras, in the same song, Madhatiti Bhakti Jan, Gaur Amaras Je Sabasthane, Korilo Brahma Narange, Se Sabasthane Haribo Ami, Pranayi Bhakti Sange. Bhagavan Thakur says, the next line, that wherever the places where my Lord Chaitanya has visited, Gaur Amaras Je Sabasthane, Korilo Brahma Narange, wherever he has visited, I will go to the same places with loving devotees, Pranayi Bhakti Sange. Sri Radha Gopinath ki. So, I will go to the same places with loving devotees of the Lord. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited this beautiful places, and it will be wonderful, my dear friends, to, in one sense, go on a mental tour, if you are all allow me, to go to this beautiful 9 kshetras of Lord Narasimha Dev. Right? And to really understand that what prominence this Lord Narasimha Dev has in our lives, and how prominent they are present in our lives. And these are the places where every single place was visited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, I mean of Narasimha Dev, is the most glorious kshetra of Ahobalam. All of us please, chant this sloka after me. This sloka was chanted by the demigods when they saw Lord Narasimha Dev appeared from the stamba. They were so amazed to see the form of the Lord. Na bhuto na bhavishya, something that they had never ever seen in their lives. What sort of form is this? Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki. So what sort of form is this? And when they saw this form, they chanted this beautiful verse. Aho Viram.
Aho
Shauryan. Aho Bahu Parakramam. Narsimam. Param Daivam. Aho Bilam. Aho Balam. I repeat. Aho Viram.
Aho
Shauryan.
Aho
Bahu Parakramam. Narasimham, Param Daivam, Aho Bilam, Aho Balam. The translation is, oh, what a great valor he has. His great gallantry. Oh, those great powerful shoulders of the greatest of the gods, Lord Narasimha. And what a mighty cave is this. And what a mighty divine strength he has. So they were amazed to see the Lord. I said, what viram? Now, you know, it is not easy to impress the demigods. Demigods have everything. But when the Lord comes at Narasimha Dev, said, aho. When the word aho is used in grammar, so, oh. In English, we say, wow. Something like that. Say, wow. Say, aho viram, what strength. Aho shauryan. What gallantry, what shaurya he has. Aho Bahu Parakramam. See the strength of his Bahu. And of course, he was in the mountain. So they were seeing various caves. Aho Bilam means what a cave. And this Aho Balam. And that's how we know as Aho Balam Narasimha. Aho Balam. Aho Balam. What strength. What strength. That's how he is known as Aho Bilam Narasimha. So the first Narasimha Dev, my dear friends, as we know in this place is Aho Bilam Narasimha, that the original Narasimha Dev. And our Sankaracharya, he composed the whole Aho Bilam Stotram, thus composing prayers, sing Ahobila Narasimha. So the first place that we go down, I mean those who have visited Ahobilam, I mean it would be beautiful to really understand how this place is. This whole place is divine. The whole place is a different terrain. It doesn't look from this world, right? It is all mountainous and it is filled with the vibrations of Lord Narasimha Dev. In Vrindavan we go, it is all Madhurya Ras. Jai Shri Radhe. But that Madhurya is not present in Ahobilam. Is all about Shauryam, all about Bahu, all about Rakta, all about blood, all about killing. That's the power. That's Lord Narasimha Dev. I knew of, you know, one devotee, like many of us have Ishtadevs, right? All of us, our Ishtadev is maybe Radha Gopinath, and people have Ishtadevs as Ram. Some people may worship Ishtadev as maybe, you know, Kurma or whatever. But, you know, we knew one of very senior Prabhupada disciple. I know him very closely. You know, his Ishtadev, even though he was a Gaudiya Vaishnav, but his Ishtadev was Narasimha Dev. Because he was having that spirit Kshatriya spirit. That type of spirit. So he had a huge deity of Narasimha Dev. And one day, you know, and he would give different weapons to Lord Narasimha Dev. And of course, he was worshipping in America. It was not in India. So he would give different weapons, swords and, you know, various different weapons. Because he said Narasimha Dev loves different weapons. And one day he offered him AK-47. And his logic is, why not? He would love to just use. The point is, I mean, that is just on the side note. The point I'm saying is, Narasimha Dev is all about the anger that the Lord has when His devotees are malhandled. That's Narasimha Dev. What sort of anger He has. So then, the next deity, one was Ahobilam Narasimha. Ahobilam Narasimha ki? Yeah. And then we go to Krodha Narasimha. So what happened is, Narasimha Dev was, he appeared, and then Prahlad Maharaj put a garland. And the one person that Narasimha Dev was very angry with, as our Shastra explained, was Lord Brahma. And he said, what sort of benditions you are giving? You put me into some... So he called Lord Brahma. You know, so when somebody is angry, and we all remember when we all were students, and the teacher is angry with you, come here. What would happen to you? Very scared, right? So Lord Brahma came, and as he was coming out of grid, he was fearful, the Vedas fell from his hands. Lord Brahma is the composer of Vedas. The feathers fell from his hands, and he fell on the earth, and it went in the earth. And it was nowhere to be seen. What to do? Now we need the Vedas. So the demigods prayed that Lord Narasimha Dev, now that you are around, please retrieve the Vedas. So Lord Narasimha Dev, in the same angry form, he took the form of tusk. Because you want to retrieve anything from down, you need a tusk of the boar. So he took the form of Krodha Narasimha, which is the most ferocious angry form. He took the tusk and he went down and retrieved the Vedas. The Vedas, instead of the earth, in the case of Varadev, it was the Vedas, and Bhumi is embracing the tusk. So that form of the Lord that you see, which is Krodha Narasimha, is, now we have Simhachalam, which is also Varan Narasimha. Now that Varan Narasimha and Krodha Narasimha is different. Simhachalam is a deity which was the combination of Vara and Narasimha, which is also the same year. But here, Vara Narasimha is also very angry from the Lord. And he is covered by the Chandan throughout the year, except for Akshaya Tritiya, just left or just went to a few days back. But this Krodha Narasimha is the deity where the Lord retrieved the Vedas, and the deity has Bhumi Devi on his shoulders, embracing him. That's Krodha Narasimha. And then we have the, this is again angry form of the Lord. Then we have the form of Malola Narsimha. You remember the name. The Malola Narsimha is where Lord Lakshmi is standing next to Narsingadev. And whenever there is Mother Lakshmi standing, the Lord is very kind. So Malola. So he is in a very soumya form. The Lord is in a very, very merciful form, in the form of Malola Narsimha. And the third is Jwala Narsimha. Now again, this is the exact form of the Lord, which is at the time where he killed Hiranyakashipu, when he came out of the pillar, right below Ugrastambha. So those who have been there, we all know this is the eight-arm form of Narsingadev, Jwala. The very name itself shows it's very, very fearful. So Jwala Narsimha is obviously, you know, with one hand is tearing up, two hands is tearing apart the intestines. With one hand, two hands is removing the intestines. With two hands is holding the shank and chakra. So like that, he's putting the nest inside. The Jwala Narsimha is the angry form of the Lord. And next to Jwala Narsimha, my dear friends, why am I explaining this? Again, I'm just repeating. Because this is the places where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally visited and worshipped this Lord Narsimha deities. So he went to Jwala Narsimha, had darshan, and then he went to, there's a place called Raktakund where the Lord Narsimha washed his hands. To this day, that place is, this is the glory of India, my dear friends. Even now. And people love to go all over the world and we go around. That's fine, seeing the places. But where do we find places where the Lord personally washed his bloody hands? That water, that Maha water, Raktakund, is still there. Even now you can take Achman. And then we have Pavan Narsimha. If you walk a little further away, surrounded with mountains, we have Pavan Narsimha. And this is the place which purifies, is the way Pavan, it purifies all the sinners. And Bharadvaj Muni, he had committed Brahma Hatya. And he came here to seek blessings and forgiveness. And Lord Narsimha, they purified him. So that's the place of Pavan Narsimha. And then we have the place of Yogananda Narsimha. Very interesting, I mean, a little surprising. But after killing Hiranyakashipu and Lord Narsimha Dev taught some yogic postures to Prahlad Maharaj. Now, why did he teach? I do not know. But he taught and he had this yoga patta. I know the band for yoga. So he's wearing that yoga patta around his leg, and that's Yogananda Narsimha. This is right in the place which is called Prahlad Bari, the school of Narsimha, right up there, if you remember, is Yogananda Narsimha. And the second last one is Chhatravat Narsimha. Now Chhatravat is very interesting. This Narsimha Dev is smiling. Now usually you don't see Narsimha smile. I mean, Narsimha is not a smiling deity, you know. He's not like Radha Raman, you see smile, or Krishna, you see smile. Narsimha, he doesn't have that sort of profile. His profile is of not smiling. But this Chhatravat Narsimha is smiling, and you will wonder why. And his one hand, you know, when you have some nice music playing, what do you do? What do you do? You do like this? You give tal? What happened is, my dear friends, two of the great Gandharvas, by the name Aha and Huhu. What's the name? Aha and Huhu. They came to entertain Lord Narsimha. And they were Gandharva, they were singing beautifully. And the Lord was so happy to hear their singing that he smiled. First time, Lord smiled. Wow. Narsimha Dev smiling because they must have sang so nice, and he was so engrossed in their singing that he started giving them tal. That's Chhatravat Narsimha, because he's below the banyan tree, Chhatravat, water, and he's smiling and he's giving yoga tal. And then is Karanja Narsimha. Now what happened is once, you know, Hanumanji was chanting Ram, 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 Ram's name. So, he was performing the worship of Ram. And suddenly, Narasimhadev came in front of him because he was intensely doing tapasya there. And Narasimhadev came in front of him and said, I am Ram. Tell me what you want. I am so pleased with your devotion. And Hanuman said, well, how can you be Ram? You know, your form doesn't look like Ram. And at that point, my dear friends, this is so sweet that Hanumanji was there. Lord Narasimhadev, in one hand, he had a form of a bow. In one hand, he had a form of Sudan Chakra. To show to Hanumanji that I am the same Ram with the bow and the same Vishnu or Krishna with the chakra. And Hanumanji is eternally worshipping this Karanja Narasimha. A Narasimha Dev with a bow, which actually was shown, the form shown to Lord Hanuman. And then we have the Bhargav Narasimha, the last one. And this is the place where Parshuram performed intense tapasya to worship Lord Narasimha Dev. And you know, Parshuram is also known as Bhargav. And that's how this name Narasimha Dev is named as Bhargav Narasimha. The Lord came in the form, and it explained that you know, when the Lord came in the form, he was actually killing Hiranyakashipu. That form was revealed to Parshuram. And Parshuramji said that, oh Lord, can you please manifest yourself permanently in this form? And that's how the Lord came in the form of Bhargav Narasimha. So these are the beautiful 9 forms of Lord Narasimha Dev, which are present in our own land of India, and which were personally visited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to really worship Lord Narasimha Dev. Each and every place that we have mentioned, he worshipped those forms of the Lord. So please understand that Lord Narasimha Dev is an integral part of our Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And it will be very interesting to know that how Narasimha Dev is so very profusely present in Gaur Leela as well. Of course, we all Gaudiyas, we all worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Which was the Shaligram that Advaita Acharya worshipped to invoke the presence of the Lord and ask him to come down in the world? Which was the Shaligram? Anybody? Advaita Acharya read, right, that if you just worship Shaligram and offer Ganges water and Tulsi, the Lord is very pleased. And he was crying at the top of his voice, oh, my dear Lord, you need to come down to save the world from this very, very sinful situation. And the Shaligram that Advaita Acharya worshipped, which is to this day present in Shantipur, is the Narasimha Shaligram. The Advaita Acharya was worshipping Narasimha Shaligram, and that's how the Lord was incarnated down. One of the days, the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was around. This is the time where he was in Navadvip. And he was walking around the area of Navadvip, and he saw many, many cows. And when he saw these cows, he immediately got into the form of his original form. And he started shouting. What did he shout? I am He. I am He. I am that Lord. He came in the form, he came in the mood rather, of the original personality of Godhead. And he ran to the house of Sivas Thakur. And what was Sivas Thakur doing at that time? Anybody? He was worshipping his Shaligram. And the Lord was in ecstatic mood, and he said, he started shouting when he came to the house of Shaligram, I am He, I mean the house of Sivas Thakur. And he was shouting, I am He, I am He. And when he saw Sivas Thakur worshipping Lord Narasimha Dev, he took the form of Lord Narasimha Dev. There was fire all around him. He said, I am He, I am the same Narasimha Dev. And that's how the Lord again took the form of Lord Narasimha Dev. Once he was hearing the 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu, and one of the names came of Lord Narasimha Dev. And again the Lord came in the mood of Narasimha Dev, and on the street he started running. I mean, you know, we all know what happens, right? If somebody is very, very angry, and that person is on the street, What happens? People become fearful, right? They all run away because this person can do anything. What to talk of when the Lord was angry in the form of Lord Narasimhadev, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running on the streets in that mood. Everybody were very scared. And again the Lord came back to his external consciousness and said, oh my God, what have I done? I really caused so much trouble to the people. He was feeling very embarrassed. He said, I should have not done this. I should not cause any trouble to anybody. But then Srivas Thakur told, my dear Lord, don't worry. When people see you the way they saw you, that's actually not the cause of trouble, but that's the cause of their liberation. So do not worry. So very integral part of Gaur Leela, you see Lord Narasimhadev. Their famous, most famous pastime, one of my dear Brahmachari friends said, Prabhu, you must mention this pastime. I said, yes, I am going to mention. I said, this is the pastime of the first Harinam Sankirtan. And the Lord's discussion with Chand Kazi. Right? Of course, it's a beautiful long story. The devotees went on a civil disobedience movement and they didn't respect the law of the Qazi. There was a law that no kirtan should happen. They just said, they ignored it, and a huge numbers went. And then there was a discussion between the Qazi and Lord Chaitanya, Nimai. And they were discussing and then he said, actually, you know what? I broke your mridanga. That day night something very, very strange happened. And then he opened his upper garment and he showed marks of nails on his chest. And then a very, very fearful personality, half man, half lion came. And he was trying to rip apart my chest and remove my heart out. I said, how dare you trouble my devotees? And how dare you break my mridanga? And he was putting apart the chest. Then he gave me the last warning. Next time you do it, I'm going to kill you. So Lord Narasimhadev is always there to protect the Lord's devotees. And this is at the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And last but the most important, whenever Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in the last few years of his life, it's the same our Lord, Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesh Tanaya, the same Brajesh Tanaya Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ajanu Lambita Bujo Kanakatha Vato Sankirtana Kapitalo Kamalaya Taksho, Vishwam Bharo Dvija Bharo Yuga Dharma Palo, the same Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whom we worship. When he was in Jagannath Puri, he would every day go to the Tota Gopinath temple and he would hear Bhagavatam from the divine mouth of Gadadhar Pandit. And it's explained that he would repeat, I don't have the verse here, I thought I had it, but he would explain that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would repeat the stories of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj many, many times, because that's how inspired Lord Chaitanya was feeling when he heard the stories of Narasimhadev and the devotion of Prahlad. So if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a devotee would hear it again and again, you can imagine how wonderful it is that we are fortunate to celebrate today the wonderful past tithi of Narasimha Chaturdashi, this personality that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would keep on wanting to hear again and again. And of course, it will be incomplete, my dear friends, to really glorify or rather speak on Narasimha Chaturdashi if we do not sufficiently glorify Prahlad Maharaj. To the extent you want to please Ram, you have to glorify Hanuman. To the same extent you want to please Lord Narasimhadev, you have to glorify Prahlad Maharaj. How can there be glorification of Narasimhadev without glorifying Prahlad? Right? So in this beautiful conversation which happened between Durvas Muni and the Lord. This is the time where Durvas Muni was being chased by the chakra, and there was a conversation which was happening with Lord Narayan and Durvas Muni, which has been beautifully covered by Shivaram Swami in his book Sadavo Hridayam Mayam. Very beautiful book, which elaborately explains the conversation which happened. In that, it is very interesting, where we see that he asks a question. Durvas Muni asks a question to Lord Narayan. How much do you really love your devotees? I love my devotees so much that although I am Atmaram, my unlimited enjoyment remains incomplete without my devotees. He said, I love them so much that, Lord doesn't need anything. He is Atmarama Samunior. He doesn't need anything. I'm self-satisfied, but my satisfaction is incomplete without devotees. And then he goes on to explain that because I'm unlimited, I also want to increase my devotees unlimitedly. Very interesting statement the Lord makes. Because I am unlimited, I also want to increase the number of devotees unlimitedly. And that is why those personalities who preach my message to the people and increase the number of devotees are very, very, very dear to me. And that's where the Lord starts crying. And Durvas Muni sees small tears in the eyes of the Lord and said, Mother Lord, why are you crying? But that's the time the Lord is remembering who? Prahlad Maharaj. I said, how much difficulty this person went for my sake. How much he loves me. And then Durvas Muni is saying, my dear Lord, actually you have your very prominent devotees like Sankarshan and Lakshmi, who are your prominent devotees. And he calls Prahlad Maharaj a new devotee. You understand? He's saying that these are your original devotees, and Prahlad is your new devotee. Do you love Prahlad equally as your devotees? He said, of course I love Lakshmi, I love Sankarshan, they are my wonderful devotees. But he said, they have not gone through any trouble in their devotional life. But he said, Prahlad, he said, how much trouble he went for my sake. He was preaching my message to his schoolmates with so much difficulty, with so much potential fearful situation around him. He said, at the risk of his life, Prahlad, although just a young boy, instructed his schoolmates in devotion to me. When challenged by the king of demons, his father, Prahlad did not hide his devotion, but instead glorified me unlimitedly. He said, that's how much I love Prahlad. And then he said, do you really want to know how much I love Prahlad? The Lord is interesting. You want to really know? I said, yes, of course. I said, here is. I said, I became Bali Maharaj's doorkeeper. Right? The Lord became Bali Maharaj's doorkeeper. He wants to know. Do you know why I became Bali Maharaj's doorkeeper? Does anyone of you know? We all know it. The Lord became doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. But why? He said, because of his connection to Prahlad. Because Bali Maharaj is connected to Prahlad, I became his doorkeeper. Do you think I became his doorkeeper just because he gave me 3 steps of land? No. That seems to be the external reason. But the real reason, the real deep reason is because of his close connection to Prahlad Maharaj. So that's how much the Lord loves. And there's, of course, there are lots to be discussed. But that's sufficient to say that the Lord loves Prahlad Maharaj. Why? It's explained because of his humble disposition. It was explained that Prahlad, the Lord is telling this, that Prahlad felt that he's not actually a devotee. See the humility of Prahlad. And the Lord is telling about the humility of Prahlad. He said, actually Prahlad always felt that I called you when I needed you. You came to help me. That means I'm not really a devotee of yours. But the other people who are really devotees. But he said that Whenever Prahlad remembers me, I have to come. There is no option. Because his remembrance pierces, the Lord is saying this, his remembrance pierces through all the layers of the world and directly comes to my heart. And wherever Prahlad is remembering me, that's where I am 100% present. This was in response to the question Durvasmani asked, that Prahlad is your dear devotee, but you don't stay with him. You stay with Bali, but you don't stay with Prahlad. But he said, no, actually, even though I don't stay with him, but I'm constantly there because whenever he remembers me, and that's where Prahlad Maharaj is the epitome of what? Smaranam. Whenever Prahlad remembers me, his intensity of remembrance is so wonderful that I have to be present there. That's how much the Lord loves Prahlad Maharaj. So what is it? When you take trouble and difficulties that you endure to preach the message of the Lord, that is what endears you to the Lord. Second, the humility that you have in your heart of considering yourself to be insignificant in spite of whatever devotion you may be having in your heart, that is what attracts the Lord. The weak and humble disposition of Prahlad attracted the Lord uncontrollably. And that is what we all need to learn from the personality of Prahlad Maharaj. And I would like to just end by reading these beautiful prayers, my dear friends, because this is a time of offering prayers to the Lord. We have sang this beautiful Karavalambram Stotram, the 17 verses glorifying Lord Narasimhadev. But our own Acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he was right in Navadvip, he had composed 5 verses for the glorification of Lord Narasimhadev. So, with your kind permission, we can just recite this 5 prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is in line with Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are seeking the blessings of the Lord to really fulfill their desire of achieving the love of Radha and Krishna, and praying to the Lord to assist us in that. E dushta ridaye kam ati ripu chaya kutinati pratishta satya sadaraya ridaya sodana arakshnera vasana narsima charane mora yei kamana. Within my sinful heart, the 6 enemies headed by lust perpetually reside, as well as duplicity, the desire for fame, plus sheer cunningness. At the lotus feet of Lord Narasimha, I hope that He will mercifully purify my heart and give me the desire to serve Lord Krishna. Second verse. Weeping, I will beg at the lotus feet of Lord Narasimha for the benediction of worshipping Radha and Krishna in Navadvip, perfectly safe and free from all difficulties. When will this Lord Hari, whose terrible form strikes fear into fear itself, ever become pleased and show me His mercy? The third verse is very sweet. Even though Lord Narasimha is terrifying towards the sinful souls, He offers great auspiciousness unto the devotees of Lord Krishna headed by Prahlad Maharaj. When will He be pleased to speak words of compassion unto me and a worthless fool and thereby make me fearless? The fourth verse. He will say, dear child, sit so freely and live happily here in Sri Gauradham. May you nicely worship the divine couple and may you develop loving attachment to their holy names. By the mercy of my devotees, all obstacles are cast far away. With a purified heart, thus perform the worship of Radha and Krishna, for such worship overflows with sweet nectar. And the last verse. Saying this, will that Lord delightfully place His own divine lotus feet upon my head? I will experience sublime love for the divine couple Radha and Krishna, undergo the ecstatic transformation of Satvika.
Falling on the ground, I will roll about at the door of Sri Narasimha's temple. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, my dear friends, is beautifully in helping us to really find the wonderful synthesis of our Ishtadev, Radha and Krishna, and how today on this auspicious day we can pray to Lord Narasimha Dev to remove all the abhadra things from our heart. The way he pierced the heart of Hiranyakashipu and removed all the horrible things from his heart. Similarly, my dear friends, we can pray to the Lord that He can purify our heart and He can remove all the obstacles on our path. And by His blessings, and as is written, by the blessings of His devotees, the devotees of Lord Narasimha Dev, we can wonderfully execute our purpose of life of worshipping Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the holy land of Vrindavan, and Sri Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the holy land of Navadvip. So with these prayers, I would just like to end with one last story to show that Lord Narasimha Dev is not something that he does pastimes many centuries ago, but devotees in South Africa have this many beautiful stories. But one very beautiful, famous story, someone whom I knew very closely was part of this story. That's why I love to say this story. There was a family staying in South Africa, Indian origin, but born and brought up in South Africa, became a devotee of the Lord. They had a small child, girl child. A small girl child. And she naturally became attracted to Lord Narasimha Dev because she loved the way he looked. She loved the way he looked, and she was very much devoted to Lord Narasimha Dev. She would chant the names of Lord Narasimha Dev, she would chant Narasimha Arati. Usually if you see, the first prayers that small children learn is Narasimha Arati, some or the other. Right? I remember, all small children I see, first thing they learn is Narasimha Arati for some reason. Right? So this girl also just would love Narasimha Dev, intense love for the Lord. So she was playing with a ball in her house. Her house was in one of the secluded places in Johannesburg. And she was playing, and the ball went jumping out of the door of the house. And she went running out. Usually there would not be much traffic. The father was on the first floor, and a truck just coming with full speed. And the father was so shocked that the truck is coming, the girl is running, and he shouted, but she couldn't hear. He actually jumped from the first floor. He landed, and of course he broke his legs. And the most painful thing to see is when he was first floor, so he was not dead. But he got up somewhere there and saw his girl was lying there. He said, this is the most painful thing that has happened, because there was no way. So the girl, and there was a police van coming from the other side. This is a real story, Prabhu, a real story. I know these people. The police van coming from the other side. And the police, they knew what happened. They took the girl and ran to one nursing home. There's a nursing home, said, we can't do anything. She was unconscious. And then she went to the hospital. And it was an emergency because she was dashed by a fast speeding truck. They didn't even know whether she was alive. So then they went to the trauma center, and they first took the x-ray to know what's happening. And the doctor was the in charge. He asked the nurse, get me this x-ray quickly, it was an emergency. So she got the x-ray, and he saw the x-ray, and he fired the nurse. Said, how can you be so irresponsible, you useless nurse? What sort of x-ray you have got? Get me the actual x-ray of the person. Because this x-ray has no fractures. What rubbish. Run out and get me the x-ray. And the nurse was scared. What mistake I did. She went out and said, give me the real x-ray. And this is the x-ray.
This is the X-ray of the girl. And they saw the X-ray and they said, this is impossible. The girl had no fracture. And the girl came back to consciousness. And the girl said that when this was happening, I remember Lord Narasimha, and Lord Narasimha came personally, took me and threw on the other side of the road. And because he threw, I have some pain and I have got some scratches. And what she showed, there were some scratches of Lord Narasimha's nails, and that's all that was there. Now, of course, we'll find, oh wow, this story. But for devotees, this should not be surprising. Lord Narasimha Dev is always there, even now, to protect his devotees. So this story is just one sample of the millions of stories that we could be knowing, where Lord Narasimha Dev is protecting. Of course, we should not always feel that Lord Narasimha Dev will protect us physically all the time. We may not, maybe not, different ways of the Lord protection. But the fact is, my dear, we should all know that when we invoke the presence of Lord Narasimha Dev in our life, He is always there to protect His devotees. We should have 100% faith in that. And today is the day we should be praying for our own spiritual protection, for the protection of our near and dear God brothers and God sisters and our larger family of ISKCON. We can offer special prayers today for the safety, physical, mental, social and spiritual safety of all the devotees that we know. And Lord Narasimha Dev is definitely there to listen to our prayers. Because Lord Narasimha Dev is the most sweetest of sweet Lord, who is there to really help His devotees. He is ferocious. But as we know this beautiful verse, I forget the verse. What is the verse Satya Mahaprabhu chanted? That He is like the cub. Sapotanam, something like that. Sorry? Who is singing? Sapotanam. Yeah, so for the cub, the mouth of a lion is motherly. You just feel motherly love. But for the rat, the mouth of a cat is for the kitten, the mouth of a cat is motherly. But for the rat, it is like dead personified. Similarly, for the offenders, Narasimha Dev is the most ferocious form who is out there to kill them. But for devotees, and hopefully we all are devotees of the Lord, by the mercy of Prabhupada and our spiritual masters, we all are trying to be devotees of the Lord. For us, Lord Narasimha Dev is always there, lovingly waiting to really protect our devotion. So we pray to the Lord, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our Acharya, is so wonderfully showing that, how he is praying to the Lord. Yeah, please remove all the duplicity from my heart, and please protect and remove all the difficulties from the path of my devotional service. So let us pray, and let us have a wonderful day today, and remembering the glories of Prahlad, and as we began in the verse, remembering the activities of Prahlad, remembering the activities of Lord Narasimha Dev, and hearing about the destruction of Hiranyakashipu. And by remembering these three wonderful things, what will happen? We'll get free of all anxiety. And when we get free of all anxiety, what happens? It means we are staying in Vaikuntha. We are staying in a place where there is no anxiety, Vaikuntha. The Kuntha place that we are staying now becomes Vaikuntha. So by hearing the passing of Lord Narasimha Dev, hearing the passing of the Lord, we will be transported to the realm of Vaikuntha. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Narasimha Dev Bhagavan ki. Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. Hitai Gaura Premanandi. Hare Krishna.